Welcome to Health Connections, the show about people, health, and policy. I'm Dr. Carol Myers. I'm from the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. I'm pleased to be joined in the WUOT studio by State Senator and physician Richard Briggs. Senator Briggs represents the 7th District, which includes parts of Knoxville, during the 110th General Assembly, the last General Assembly. Senator Briggs served on the Senate Health and Welfare Committee. So, a little bit more about the Tennessee General Assembly. It will convene on January 8, 2019 at noon. I've asked Senator Briggs to share his thoughts on what to expect next year with the Tennessee General Assembly as it relates to health and healthcare.
First of all, thank you very much, Carol, for inviting me today. It's always a pleasure to be on here and share thoughts with you. Just as a general statement, this is going to be a very interesting year. We have a brand new governor who has no experience in government. We're going to have the largest number of new members of the House of Representatives, so they have very little experience in government. And we also have a major turnover with both the leadership and members of the state Senate. So it should be a very interesting year. In some ways, it'll be good because a lot of the baggage will be gone. And it will also be interesting because we may have the opportunity to do some things that we haven't done in the past because we have so many new members.
There's nothing new about the issue that we face in Tennessee about access to health care. We've got an almost 10% uninsured rate. And sadly, that number's going up. We have hospital closures. And now it's not just confined to the rural areas, although that's been the predominant problem. We still have a rural provider shortage, particularly when we look at primary care. We're also beginning to really become aware of our lack of capacity for addiction treatment, and then cost is always a barrier to access. So could you talk about what you expect might be priorities, or if you'd rather talk about what you'd like to see, whether or not they'll be everybody else's priority?
Well, I think one of the major issues, and I believe that Governor Haslam will admit this, that one of his largest disappointments was the failure to expand Medicaid, and that's really had a major impact not only on the access to care, but also on the financial situation, particularly in some of our rural communities. I don't think that bringing Insure Tennessee back will be the entire problem, and maybe we need to take a new look at it. Maybe we need to look at even what's happening on the national level, where we need to look at what they call per capita caps, is where the state receives so much money, depending on the number of people they have in the Medicaid program, but then remove some of the federal strings and some of the barriers to allow the state to manage it itself. And we have done a very good job on managing our finances in Tennessee, and I think that could be a program. I like to call it, rather than Obamacare, Trumpcare, because this is what he has promoted as an alternative to the Affordable Care Act, is to take a block grant, remove some of the federal strings, and then let the states manage it. That might be an opportunity for us to expand health insurance and health care to the uninsured.
Senator Briggs, respectfully, I must say, though, that per cap costs have some value, and I think you've discussed those. But what we've seen thus far with what you call Trump Care is that it's also been used as a vehicle to lower the federal government's obligation to the states. So therefore, the proposals we've seen to date have resulted in very drastic declines in the number of people covered and what's covered. So could you respond to that about what that might mean for Tennessee?
All of this health care is very complicated, but I think to try to do the same thing that we've done every year for the last 4 years, it's not going to pass. I don't see Insure Tennessee passing again. I think it was a very good program, wasn't going to cost the taxpayers anything, and it was promoted by Governor Haslam, but just the will is not in the General Assembly to pass that. So I think we have to look at something else. And you are absolutely correct. In the past, CMS, which is the approving body for the Medicaid waivers, have not approved any block grants, but they are looking at it differently now because it would reduce some of the federal responsibility and obligations. It would put that burden on the states to manage their Medicaid well, but we've not tried that because there's not any states that have received a CMS Medicaid waiver to try a block grant. you know, is this the program that would be my first choice? No, but it is a plan B. And if we look at the goal of trying to bring access to health care to all Tennesseans, but particularly to our rural areas that are hurting so bad right now, then that's an option. And I would like to point out also, it's not just rural Tennessee. We've had two major medical centers in Knoxville that have closed. We had the Baptist Hospital System that closed about 10 years ago. And as we've heard on the news, Tenova is planning to close Physicians Regional Hospitals. This is the previous St. Mary's Medical Center that had been open since 1930. That's going to close on December the 28th. But I think we have to look maybe at another way of doing things if the plan that I might prefer and the governor preferred is not going to pass. Let's look at another way of doing it.
Well, thanks for outlining. We do have to be pragmatic. I'd like to think at this time that we understand the problems, and if we can come to the table with an idea that we have a common goal, we understand the problems, and we're going to have to find a new solution. But I just know there'll be concerns if that solution means we just basically have more people uninsured or underinsured. But thank you, and I look forward to you being part of those discussions. We're really challenged in our state with the opioid epidemic, kind of the flip-flopping between overdose deaths from heroin or fentanyl, and the fact that we still don't have adequate treatment capacity. We've done a lot. Maybe we should start with saying that. But what else needs to be done, Senator Briggs?
Well, Dr. Myers, I think that's an excellent question. And some people may think that this is just a personal tragedy where we have individuals that need to take responsibility for their addictions. They made bad choices. But this affects all of us. And it's a much bigger problem than just a health problem. It's now, because we're near a full employment economy, we have companies in Tennessee, and we have companies that want to come to Tennessee to do business because we have such a favorable business environment, that aren't hiring people, and they're not coming to Tennessee because we have too many people when they go to hire them that are failing their drug test. And I've even heard some employers say that if you can pass your drug test, that's the number one condition for employment. It affects our rural communities because it's absolutely devastating the communities. It affects our school system because now we're having a large group of young kids that are 5 and 6 years old that have what they call the neonatal abstinence syndrome. And what that is, this is where they were born to mothers that were addicted to drugs. They passed that addiction on to their newborn infants. We thought it was just going to be an expensive problem where they spend an extra week or 6 weeks in the hospital and maybe there's another $50,000 or $100,000 in cost. We're finding out that even after they come off the opiates and the drugs, they're starting to go to kindergarten. They're starting to go to first grade. We're finding out now that they have behavioral problems. They have learning disability problems. So it's becoming an education issue now. So this problem with the opiates isn't just an individual tragedy or a family tragedy. It affects every one of us.
I think we can be both idealistic about what we want our state to be like, but also pragmatic about how that happens. So you've talked about the burden of opioid addiction on the workforce and productivity in Tennessee. We have another very major problem, Senator Briggs, and that's chronic disease, our very poor ranking with America's health rankings. And that is having a major impact on attracting employers and having a really wide open workforce. Could you speak a little bit about that relationship between health care and the economy?
And you're absolutely correct again. Every year, the first week that we're in session, the health committees receive the health care report, which tells us what the major problems are. This is something that's done throughout the United States. Tennessee has made just absolutely fantastic progress in our education. We used to be dead last or almost dead last, and we're middle of the pack now. We used to be a state that had very little economic growth. We're one of the best states right now. But the one area that we have not made progress is in health care. Since I've been in the state legislature, we've actually gone down. My first year, we were 43. We went 44. I think last year, I had a little button I wore one year that said 44 with a line through it. Well, I got rid of that button, and last year I had one that said 45 with a line through it, so we were making no progress. Our poor health is more than just a poor health issue. It's also an economic issue because there's only 7 states that have more worker absenteeism than what Tennessee does. And what that means is if you're a company that's hiring people in Tennessee, you're a company that's relocating to Tennessee, and you're finding workers that aren't hooked on drugs, you're going to have to hire more people. Your productivity is going to be less because Tennesseans miss too much work because they're sick. This is something that we need to address. It's our chronic illnesses. This deals with obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure, cancer, heart attack, strokes. You can go down the line, and we're right at the bottom on all of those.
So what might be some actions or other activities of the General Assembly to look at that? How might that turn into something where there's some action from the Tennessee General Assembly?
That's the million-dollar question, or maybe the $100 million question. Those same questions came up back in the mid-1960s on how we're going to deal with smoking. And it has taken a good half a century, and I hope it doesn't take that long for us to change our culture and the way that we look at smoking. It took a long time, but now we're probably down to 20, 25% of the population smokes. It used to be twice that. We still need to make it better. But I think we need to do, there's cultural reasons that we can't legislate in Tennessee. And I'm a, you may not be, but I'm a good Southern boy. I love my fried chicken. I love my, I'm going to share a little secret. That's what I had this morning was some ham and red-eye gravy. We do have to start making a cultural change where our students, and this has to start young, our students are making good choices in school. And I think we can start that in the schools. The school diets aren't necessarily the best. And we need to start teaching students, and we need to change the cultural attitudes where for breakfast, rather than having fried eggs and red-eye gravy and ham, is that maybe we ought to look a little bit more toward oatmeal and fruit. But those are things that won't happen overnight, but there are things that we can do in the legislature, particularly in our school cafeterias, because the children are our future, that we need to have them make more healthy choices. We need to get more exercise. That can also be promoted in the schools and make this a culture of healthy eating and exercise rather than some of the, I hate to call them bad habits, but some of the things that we're doing right now that aren't the best for us.
So you've talked about some things the General Assembly might do. Let me refine that question. Governor-elect Bill Lee says, I need help. He says, Senator Briggs, I want you to come in and I'm going to hand you my magic wand to change the culture in Tennessee where we become a healthier state. In addition to what you've already said, what else would you say to Governor-elect Bill Lee?
We've already talked about some ways that we may be able to bring health insurance, which ultimately results in health care to some of our citizens. Something that you and I both share a concern over is access to care in underserved areas. And this is not only rural areas, which we usually think of as being underserved, but also we have urban areas that are underserved. And I think we need to look at ways to get good, high-quality care out there so every citizen can easily have access to the care that they need. I think that's very important for our state. We've talked about some of the choices and cultural changes that we need to do. That's a long-term goal. But I think the thing that we need to emphasize is that health care is much bigger than just people being sick. It deals with Tennessee's economy. It deals with the amount of taxes we pay. It deals with how much we have to pay for our health insurance. It deals with our educational system. And one thing I'd like to point out is we talk a lot about wage stagnation, how wages aren't going up so much, and that's true. But part of the reason isn't because there's not more benefits or more collective wages going to people. It's being all consumed by increased insurance rates and copays, and businesses that would maybe very well over the last 10 years would have liked to have gotten $1,000 or $1,500 a month pay raise to their employees. That's all going to pay their health insurance.
So one of the challenges that we have in really doing anything major, particularly at the federal level, we don't have the same level of problem at our state, is getting consensus across a wide spectrum of people with different political perspectives. Do you think we could turn healthcare into a people issue rather than a partisan issue? Do you think there are points that would draw people from different points along the spectrum into saying, yes, we need to work on this. We may not have a common vision, but we need to come together.
You know, I absolutely do. Obviously, people who don't have access to health care and don't have insurance have an interest, very big interest. Our businessmen, our Chamber of Commerce, our large employers have an interest because they're trying to find healthy people to hire to improve productivity. Our educators, they have a major interest because we have to have healthy kids. Are they going to miss part of their education? So this is something, and it doesn't matter if you're at the lower end of the economic scale or the upper end of the economic scale or like most of us in the middle. This affects all of us.
And of course, our state has a very strong vested interest because of the cost of the things that you're talking about and the drain on our economic engines.
It's a point I should have made. 1/3 of the state's budget goes to the teen care program, the Medicaid program.
Unfortunately, Senator Briggs, our show has a time limit. I could sit here and talk with you all morning, but that's not allowed. So I want to tell you how much I've enjoyed you coming, sharing your perspective. We'll be watching what happens with the Tennessee General Assembly. I'm like you. It's going to be interesting with all the changes. So thank you very much for your service to the state and for all you do in our community.
Thank you.